on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
Hey, what's up, everyone? My name is Rich, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. Today, we are talking to Mr. Luca from the Ruta 160 Committee, in particular about the section of road between Playa Garza and Nosara. As most of you know, or anyone who's familiar with Nosara is aware, we were supposed to receive asphalt for this section of road. However, the construction crews have left, and now everyone's wondering if this project has been abandoned or not. Lucas shed some light on this by telling us the history of the project, where it's at right now, and some of the hindrances and obstacles we might be facing. I want to thank Luca for coming in and speaking so candidly about this highly controversial topic. Please enjoy this episode and let us know how else we can serve you in the future, and know we will bring you more information as we get it. Thanks for checking in, and thanks to Luca. Hope you enjoy the episode. So, Luca, you're on the Route 160 committee, and I really would like to know what the heck is going on, because everyone was saying the road's coming, it's really happening, they've lifted the road, they've been working on it forever, and now everyone's gone. The trucks were loaded, everyone left. Our road is horrible right now. It's as bad as I've seen it. And I drive all day. Like, that's what I do basically for a living. And it's as bad as I've seen it, in particular from Garza into the southern end of Quiñones. What's going on, man? Like, are they coming back? Are they going to do this thing? Or is the project dead?
Well, we have a promise that they will come back. Let me tell you a bit this story. Okay. First of all, this started like 10 years ago with a promise on that time by the government to do this project. So a committee started that. It's called the Committee 160, the road, that's the name of the road. And they have been working on the road on the 30 kilometers from Nosara to the gas station or to Samara. It's not completely clear that, but all the way out to the paved road. And that process went very, very difficult. And I will not go deeper on that because it's also a long story. But 2 years ago, me and some other people from the community, we wanted to try to give some support, just to see what is going on with the committee of 160, to see what's going on and what could we do to help them. Because we knew that they were like working very hard and for a very long time, and they were like a bit tired. So we just wanted to give them a bit of support on what they were doing.
And so this is about 2 years ago.
Yes.
More or less. Okay. And that's when the new Ruta 160 committee, that's like you, Gerardo Cookie, Luis Hernandez.
Luis Hernandez, Cookie, Andres, the lawyer. So, and we had a meeting with the ministry. And in that meeting, we were talking about the 30 kilometers and when is this going to happen. And it sounded very complicated for them. One of the complicated things is to make just a... to resume that, it's about the expropiaciones. Expropriations.
Yeah, so I'll explain it just for anyone maybe from the States. In the States, we have eminent domain, which if the government or if a federal project's coming through, they basically can just come through, buy your lot, there's no discussion, and they can do that. Here in Costa Rica, we have expropriation. It's a little bit different. We have to go to all the homeowners individually and work it out, and that's a nightmare.
That was the nightmare of that project, because they had to do like, I think, 300 expropriations. 300, and it was like, you know, and all that was really, really... To do one, it was... So that was very complicated. And so on that meeting, from that meeting, it came out, why don't we do 10 kilometers on the part that gets more traffic, where we drive day by day, everybody drives here. So we said, let's do 10 kilometers from Nosara to Garza. And then on that process, we see if we can then continue the rest. And the ministry said yes. the ministry said, yes, let's do it. He asked the people that were there. He had some of the people that works on that. And they say, yes, let's do this, and this. And they really started, and everybody.
So that got the momentum going.
Yes.
When it went from the 30
yes.
down to a third of that.
Yes. And they said, let's. The expropriation process was so complicated, and they say, let's work on what we have, on the road that we have, because they had some plans of the road, like crossing in some curves that are very sharp. They were cutting a lot of land, and that was very complicated. So they said, we will do it where the actual road goes. And so they really did it, and they did a great work. When they started, they removed a lot of earth. They refilled it, big parts. They worked on the intersections. The one in Playa Pelada, that was one that they did great.
Yeah, that's true. Playa Pelada is completely different.
They refill it. You know, now I think we forget, but they refill it about 2 or 3 meters from the gas station. On all that road
where
the
right.
canopies that got elevated a lot, they elevated in Esperanza, where you remember that last year's that quebrada went up. Yep. They refilled all that. We will not have that problem again.
That's a good point. I remember in the years past, whenever we have a flood, there's the Esperanza section that you have to time the tides to get by.
Yes.
And then there's the one to the north at the main intersection where you then left to go to the Rasta.
And they extended the road in some parts. Mm-hmm. They redo the curves in La Cuaviva that was very, very sharp. And so they did well. And it was a very good, there was a very good process with the people of the government. And with our association, with the committee.
So you're feeling good over the past 24 months or for a little while there, things are getting going. You have communication flowing.
Yes, yes. We had one guy from the government or from the MOPT. MOPT is the is the infrastructure institution of Costa Rica. We had a direct communication with them. They got an office in the from the Civic Nosara Civic Association, and we had meetings there. They were asking us if they needed something, and we were like collaborating with them when we could. And it was a very, very good communication, and we had like control of what was happening. But then what really came and stopped the project was the change of the government. You know that the government was changed from the election was in February, and the change of government was in May. So. In that process, we started to see some little things happening that at the beginning.
It started in May or
yes,
February.
Yes, I don't know exactly, but.
Somewhere in there.
Yes, yes.
I get you. So it started small. Communication starts getting a little different.
Yes. For example, the first thing was that the guy that was in the office here, that was living permanently here. They removed him back to San Jose. But he came to us and he said, look, I will go to San Jose, but here is this guy that will continue with the process. And we were talking with him and he said, everything is okay. It's just a transition. He will work now with you and I'm gone. But he was not living in Nosara. He was living he said, I will live in Nicoya because we have another project there. So we said, okay, if they say that, it should be fine. So,
So Luca, let me pause for just a second. I feel like I'm at listening to your story. I feel like I'm at a movie theater and it's like a scary movie. And at the beginning of a scary movie, normally everything's great. And then something happens and then the rest of the movie's horrible. I feel like that's how our conversation's going right now because you said you were communicating great. Everything's going fine.
Yes.
And then the government changed. And then the people you talked to changed. And now the scary part comes in, I think.
And so So this new guy in charge, he was talking to us and he said, no, everything is fine. This will continue. But he said to us, you should have a meeting with the ministry just to go and inform him that the community has this project, that everything has been good, so that he is aware that the project is a good project, that if it continues going well, they will very soon have a project that they come and cut the, I don't know how you call
the
it.
Ribbon, right?
Yes. So that something positive for them. And so he said,
this is the guy who left to go to San Jose. He told
you
the
new guy. The new guy said us go and talk to him so that he knows and this and that. So, and so we asked for a meeting with the ministry, and that was a meeting for in May. Mm-hmm. And a few days after the meeting, they canceled the meeting. Uh-oh. and they moved the meeting very long for October. No, for August. And then, so we were in that process, and the process went a bit slower. Some things were happening. For example, that part of the material they are putting now, that white mm-hmm. material that is called the sub base. First sub base of about 20-30 centimeters, then is a base of a better material, and then on top of that comes the asphalt. Mm-hmm. So in that process, that was in May, June, that was another thing that was happening, is that they took, because you see that they ended putting that material in Esperanza. Mm-hmm. And so the rest of the material, they took it and they put it in another project.
Mm. You know that at the time? Did you know that happened?
No, we knew that after. Because, you know, things happen and they say, we ask it, why are they not continuing putting that material? And you ask yeah. that and they say, oh, no, that is coming. What happening? No, it's coming. It's just this and that. And then time passes. And then at the end, we figure out that the material was going to another.
When did you learn that?
I think that was like in May, June, in that transition. Mm-hmm. In June or July. I don't know exactly, but we have everything documented. If we want to go very specific, we have everything documented. That is the good thing, that a community that is involved in a project, we know what's happening, because if the community is not involved, if this committee doesn't know anything, these guys, they just go and we say, oh, how nice they did. They put a very nice layer, but nobody knows that was supposed to be better.
Okay, so back into the story. So May starts getting pretty, really shaky.
Yes.
But by the time we get to July, August, what's the committee thinking? What are you guys? Are you?
And so then we receive a note because of that material that they took out from the project. They said on a new contract for the road, that instead of the 10 kilometers, because of that loss of material, they will only do 6.3 kilometers.
Hmm.
So, and then we were like, of course, we were like shocked of that. Just, you know, someone just changed that from one day to another. And then that was like, that was where we said, okay, we have to do something here. But we had the meeting. We had the meeting with the ministry, but we had to wait a bit. He didn't know anything about that, but we had to wait to the meeting because nobody that was in charge of the project could take a responsibility on the things that were happening.
Okay.
Everybody was saying, no, that is a decision that the ministry he has to know about it and he has to approve it and
so
to move forward.
When things started going south, you guys jump on top of it and no one can give you an answer. No, everyone's directing
we were asking the guy that was in charge, the local guy, the one that was in Nicoya, and he said, no, talk to the director at Liberia. Mm-hmm. And then the other guy said, no, talk to the director of Guanacaste. And the other one said, no, that's not my, you have to go directly. That's a decision of the ministry.
It's like, so now it's like you're going to the bank
and so,
to get something and they just send you from spot to spot.
Exactly. And so we had no other option than waiting for the meeting with the ministry and talk to the ministry and say, this is happening in Nosara, because of course he didn't know. And finally, we had that meeting for August, and that was also canceled. And then with
really
the help,
bad at this point.
And then with the help of the Asociación de Desarrollo de Nosara, mm-hmm. that's the Association of Nosara Town, with Marcos Avila, we said, okay, let's also tell the other organizations of Nosara to go as one group and make more pressure. So the association through Marcos Avila, they could set another meeting with the ministry, and that was one happening last week. We just came from there. I was there with Marcos and some others.
And so what they tell you last week at this meeting?
Exactly. So what they say, we were explaining the first point. We were explaining the process was starting very good. We were very happy with the process. We had someone that was in charge of the project that we could speak, and he was like responding to to us. And the process was very, very clear, very transparent, and things were moving very good. We showed him some images of how the road is now. And of course he got frustrated to see that. And
so he didn't know.
He didn't know.
Really?
He didn't know.
People listening might be confused mm-hmm. by that, because those of us who don't know what's going on and we're not on the committee, the way we see it is, here's the gossip around town. People mm-hmm. are saying, oh, we're being penalized for the election that we tried to have to break apart. Other things is, it's just corruption inside of Konebi? Between them, and people are just playing us. Mm-hmm. They never really intended on doing the road. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put that base so far. They would have just done a little bit and then mm-hmm. asphalt, a little bit asphalt, like kind of they do in other places. Mm-hmm. So I hear all these rumors flying around. And then you're saying that they actually communicated very well. And then the people, like these people you're having the meetings with, you're saying they completely were unaware that this was happening. When you took him the pictures and said, hey, what's going on? He's mm-hmm. like, I had no idea. I thought that project was going mm-hmm. well. That's sad. If he knew
about the project, but you know, of course, a ministry, he doesn't know about all the specifics of all the projects of the country. It's very, very, that's very, very difficult. We came to the point to say, look, this project is in abandon. And he said, no, wait, we will not keep this project in abandon. So he said, we will reestablish the process, because we were talking to him about how good the process started, that we had one guy in charge of the process, that we have very good communication, and everything went well. So he said, okay, we will reestablish as it was before. And he said, I cannot promise that that will happen fast, but I can promise that we will have one guy in charge of the process that you can talk and communicate. You will have the same machinery that was here and the same amount of workers. So the speed of the process will be the same as when the process was good and when it was starting. So he promised that. And there were like two guys from the MOPT and from the CONAVI. And they say, okay, one of those, they said they will be in charge of that process. And we set a meeting for this Friday. He will, and he will come to Nosara.
Okay.
And he will, the guy,
the mopped guy, or the Kanabi, or both?
Yes, one of them. I think he's from the mopped.
Okay, okay.
I got also confused about modern Kanabi.
So he's coming to Nosara, and there's So
he's coming to Nosara to meet with us, with the committee, and also the association of Nosara, to set what we said there of and what the ministry said should happen. So in that meeting, they will tell us exactly who will be in charge of the process and when it will start and all the things. So that will be the new start. So the status now of the project is very, very slow, as everybody can see. And the reason of that is that the MOPT, which is the infrastructure department, is the one that works at the site, and the CONAVI is the administration, doing the administration part. They have a deal, and that deal got broken. So that deal was that CONAVI was paying extra hours and money for accommodation for the workers here, and so now they don't have the workers, they don't have those extra funds for that. So they are working only, I think, the 8 hours that they have to work by law, but they have to work that from Nicoya. So they start in Nicoya at 7 a.m. and they drive here, they arrive here 8:30 or so, then they have like the coffee break, then they have lunch, and then they have to take again all the machinery and everything and be in Nicoya at 2. So they just work like 3 hours or so. That's the problem right now. And that is part of what needs to be reestablished. That deal between CONAVI and MOP to again have those extra hours so that they can work the whole day.
Wow. So the skeptical side of me, and everyone's like, that wasn't bad administration, Luca. That was smart administration with people stealing the money or redirecting it.
Yes.
So that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Or would you say that everything was well-intended and just done very poorly?
Yes.
So both.
Yes, because, there are some things that with the sub-base, that 30% of the sub-base that went to another project. Then
that's crazy. They just took, it was designated for this.
The problem was like at the end, all that bad administration. And that happened on the transition of the government. They move people from here to there. And you know, at the end, all this is very funny. Because it's crazy. It's crazy. You cannot believe that these things happen. It's really crazy. I have heard about other projects in Costa Rica. A road in San Carlos that is 30 years under construction. And I was like, how is that possible? This is not possible. And then now we are seeing this here in real. And you say, yes, wow, this is amazing. This is what happens everywhere in Costa Rica.
Mm. And I have a question. Because we're in Nicoya, just north of us is Santa Cruz. The road from Santa Cruz to get you out to Playa Negra, to Playa Junquillal, at the little town 27 de Abril. Mm-hmm. From there to Paraíso, the little town just north of Junquillal and just south of
Paraíso.
Right there. Mm-hmm. That road used to be horrible, just like ours, if maybe even a little worse. They paved that whole road. It has bike lanes. It's beautiful. It's magnificent. There's a fraction of the number of people going there compared to here. Now, whenever I ask that question to people, they say, oh, that's Santa Cruz. They're less corrupt than Nicoya. Is that true?
That's true.
Snap. So
that's true. There are municipalities that are more organized. And you see the problems that we have also with the dump.
Yeah.
That's an administration problem of the municipality that they don't want to take care of that problem.
So can I ask you this question? I've been told this since the day I got here, that Nicoya kind of dislikes Nosar. They see us as a bunch of expats who need to do our own stuff. That sounds kind of harsh. But if you look at our schools, if you look at our roads, if you look at all these things, it actually kind of seems to be true. And here's what I mean. The road between the Bomba and Samara, how many times has that been done and redone just in the past couple of years? At least three times. That road is always getting work done. Mm-hmm. Nicoya has new playgrounds popping up. The teachers show up at their schools. Mm-hmm. Here, and we know this from our work in the foundation, sometimes the teachers just don't show up. There's zero funding for any type of art supplies or just not even that. That's just the that's just the beginning of this. But it seems like our roads are ignored. Our schools are ignored. Everything is ignored here in Mosara because we send the money back to Nicoya and try to get it to come back. But it doesn't seem to. So although it sounds really bad to think that Nicoya dislikes Nosara, actions are louder than words. And the actions do seem to indicate that as evidenced by, well, basically everything. So that's why when we tried the election to start our own municipality and break away as in Samra Nosara, I thought, and I'll admit it, I thought this road, whenever we lost that election, I honestly thought they might take away the road. Now, you're saying that that's probably not the case. It's probably just corruption and bad administration. But it and seems some, awful coincidental that we had this road.
No, and you know, there are, I think there are also people, because on all that process, we have been also involved in some other things about the dump and all that. And there are a few guys at the municipality that really, I don't know, they have some personal...
I agree.
Personal things against us, maybe against someone from Nosara.
Maybe way in the past or something.
Yes, or they just have some businesses. It looks like, for example, on the dump, they want a specific company to take because that will go under a contract. And so the contract is four or five companies. They will participate on getting that contract.
You're basically saying and someone
wants to get in, and right. So they will do everything possible to block the process and take it. So that's part. But they are also people that just have a personal bad thing against Nosara. That is also
well. When the annotations came a couple of years ago, which of course you remember, an annotation. You're still supposed to be able to get a building permit and utilize your property. It's not a lien or an encumbrance. It's an administrative warning. Nicoya wouldn't give us any permits. I'm sure you remember being an architect.
Yes.
And people started freaking out. It's like, wait a second. Hold on. Why I can't build on my property? And all the attorneys, almost every attorney, every legitimate legal attorney who had his act together or her act together said, no, you should be able to get a permit with an administrative warning. They wouldn't do it. That was, and what people would say is that's just the mayor. He said, no, he hates you guys, and that's that. And that's another piece of evidence. It's like, well, why does Nicoya mess with Nosara so much? When in reality, the people who are in Nosara now just want to make it a better place and help their kids have better lives. I don't think anyone's trying to, from here, be difficult to Nicoya. We just want to be treated fairly.
See, and I think maybe that changed a bit. Because, you know, from the last, now I think the Association of Nosara, they work better than before.
That's good.
And then, and they are pushing more in Nicoya. They are more like, pushing and saying, we need this, to claim a bit about the rights that we have here in Nosara, about what they have to give us back from what Nosara gives to Nicoya. So I think that has been like a bit of controversy with with some of the people there that were just like taking all the money from Nosara and investing in the central canton of Nicoya. And now that we have more control of all the situation, probably they are like more like that they don't want us to get the control of it.
Well, one good thing about formats like this where people can talk and share information is people will start learning about it. Like when we went to do the vote, what was it, a couple months ago, when we went to go do that, we fell short by a very small number of votes. It almost happened. Like it almost worked. And when we asked people all around town, a lot of people said they didn't go to Nicoya because they just didn't think, they didn't understand, and they didn't really think it would work. They didn't think it would make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So this is worldwide where people need to get out and vote and speak their opinion. But isn't it interesting that our vote for that was on a Sunday in the afternoon, and then Nicoya set Trafico to Nasara for people. So I think
they did. They are a few heads in Nicoya that were working very, very hard, investing money, getting money from some other investors to block the process.
That's mm-hmm. playing dirty. That's mm-hmm. not, that's not very nice.
Mm-hmm.
But my number one rule of living here is don't make sense.
I see bad intention of just personal things of people that doesn't want a town. Maybe they are jealous about the development in Nasara, that we are doing good and all the you know, there are people there are people that they cannot see a town like growing and doing well because they have to go there and you know, that happens. And I think that's part of it.
Well, that does mm-hmm. make sense, because I know the goal was for Samara
mm-hmm.
to be where the tourism lands and where that grows mm-hmm. and all the roads are paved and everything.
See, because if you see what I was trying to tell is that has been increasing. The more Nasara gets control of the situations at the municipality, the more they start like blocking and making the things mean to us.
Yeah. So what's the solution? Like, what do you
see
happening?
In 2 years, we have to vote again. That's the solution. That is going to happen in 2 years again.
What are they going to take away from us if we lose that?
But you know,
in the meantime,
it's happening. Mm. What has to happen is happening. It's happening. That's the Nasara Association has a very, very good control of the things, of the decision that the municipality takes in Nicoya for Nasara. And every time they are doing something that is mean or bad for Nasara, they are like telling to everybody, and we are making pressure and we are changing those things.
Okay, so that's good to hear that there's
some
progress.
More, yes. There's a big process, and they are really, really controlling what the municipality has to do.
So I have one more question, and then we can move on about pertaining to Nicoya. I've also been told that the way they treat us and causing the problems and the obstacles, it's because they're mad about our green spaces, our green areas that we have in the community. They want control of that. And the Civic Association and the people here have been extremely unwilling to relinquish control of that, because we want to protect Nasara and keep it the way it is, and keep the nature and keep the natural beauty that we have. Is that true, that Nicoya wants to get a hold of that and manage that for us?
I don't know, because I haven't heard that. Like, I hear that was more about the before of the Civic Association, the Amigos de Nasara,
mm-hmm.
and the before association in Nasara town. I think it was more, what I hear was more between those two groups.
Okay. I'll look into that more. But maybe that's for another episode.
See,
maybe we'll,
but yes, I don't know if the municipality has something to say about that.
I got you. Mm-hmm. So thanks for all this information, by the way. I'm learning a ton, and this is going to help people who are watching and listening to this. Now, is there anything that residents in Nasara can do to help right now? Is this meeting that's coming up, do you want us to go out there to make a show to the representative who's coming in? Or do we just all need to be quiet and patient right now and see how it goes? Like, what should we be doing to help this cause?
I think for the meeting, it's a meeting where the associations and the groups of Nasara will take part. And then I think what is very important is what happens after that meeting, because already the voice of Guanacaste, they are all aware of that. And I think probably they will be there, but they will be there more after that meeting. We will tell the community what's going on, what the deal is, what are the promises that they give us. And from there, we have to make the pressure that happens.
Mm. So if there's a time for pressure, it's not right now, it's after.
After that, because we, you know, right now, they say, yes, we will continue with the process. We will do good. We know that this has not been like the best process. We will do good. So right now we don't have nothing to fight against them because we have that meeting. And in that meeting, that positive things should happen. If in that meeting it's not positive, then we will like say to everybody and we will make like pressure however we can. Mm-hmm.
Someone stopped me on the road yesterday and just said, Rich, we need to all get together and block the road and put up a roadblock. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, okay, I want the road to be done too. And I get that. But if we put up a roadblock, we're just going to block ourselves.
No.
Like, why do we care?
We will let you know when it's time for that. Okay. Because
you would just laugh at us and be like, all right.
Because that will happen. That really will happen if this project gets stopped. Because now that we know how the process was, this project had a budget for 2,500 millions of colones. And they already invested about 40% of that, which is 1,000 millions of colones. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, all that is getting damaged. They are losing part of that money. So that will be like, we can do a big scandal with that. And then we will let you know and everybody to go and make like how far we have to go with pressure.
Well, let's hope you have a good upcoming meeting. And then what I'd like to do is get you back or someone from your committee to come update us after the meeting happens, because there's a lot of people who want to know what's going on.
Yes.
And you've educated us a ton today. So thank you for that.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road.